I really enjoyed it. I thought it was wonderful. And then all the fellows did a great job. But the word silence, I thought about these great voices. What if they were silenced that we've heard this morning? What about this great choir that we've heard sing this morning? What if it was a voice that was silenced? Well, I think about the book of Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to preach in a hurry this morning, so you just jump in there and grab on with me if you can. Luke chapter 1, I will ask you to stand. We'll read just a couple of verses real quickly. Luke chapter 1. Verse number 5. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to stand this morning and preach to your people, Father, with power. And I pray, Father, there'd be someone here within hearing, God, that would perceive and be able to discern what the Spirit has to say to the church. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There is a tourist who came into a small town into Vermont. And a small town like Spruce Pine is. And he joined up that evening with a small group of men who were out there sitting on the porch of the general store. And he attempted to strike up a conversation with them. And, you know, he got no response from those people. And so he made this statement. He says, Is there a law against talking in this town? One of the old men said, Nope, there ain't no law against it. We just like to make sure it's an improvement over silence. When God broke His silence of 400 years, He had not spoken. When He broke His silence, He sent Gabriel with a message of God to speak to Zacharias after 400 years of silence. And he was announcing the birth of John the Baptist and the coming birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to hear this morning, when the Lord speaks, it's worth hearing. When the Lord has something to say, it is worth speaking about. I hope when I stand this morning, what I say to you is worth hearing and it is worth speaking about. I think first of all about Zacharias' position. The Bible says in verse 5 that he was a priest, if you'd care to look with me there. And he says in verse 6 that he was walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. He was a man, y'all, that was willing to serve God and do whatever it took. He was faithful to the Lord in each and every day of his life. Not only was he a priest, well instructed in the things of God, as are many of you. I do remind you that I do believe, and this church believes, in the priesthood of the individual believer. That means that you can come right before God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a priest unto God this morning. You do have access to the blood of Christ. And this man served blamelessly. The Bible doesn't stop there. He says that he was righteous. He and his wife were both righteous before the Lord. I wonder if God looks in Spruce Pine and sees Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, does he see you as righteous? What does he see you as? Does he see you as plastic? Does he see you as counterfeit? Does he see you as a sinner? Or does he see you as righteous? When God looked down at this man, Zacharias, and Elizabeth, he saw righteousness. And not only that, but this man was a man well stricken in years. His was the voice of experience. He had had divine proof after divine proof that God was God and there is no other. Some of you come into this building today and you may have doubts as to whether the Lord God's still able to save and whether He's still able to heal. But I'm going to tell you what Zacharias, amen, a man of experience, knew the power and the presence of Almighty God. And we do realize that this man was married to a devout woman who is also well stricken in years. But the Scripture says in verse 7 that this woman was barren. That tells us that she does not feel like a woman for a Jew not to be able to have a child. It makes her feel less than the less, and she feels left out. Yet, for some reason, they continue to serve God each and every day of their life, and they had a little prayer request. And we know that they were asking God for a child. Now, can I just have your attention just for a second to say, what if some of you women went down to the women doctor? And you've seen a woman about 85 or 92 years old sitting there, and you may look over and say, look at her and see her belly or swole up a little bit. You may say, I wonder what's wrong with her. And the doctor says she's with child, 92 years old, going to have a baby. You wouldn't believe it. But I'm telling you what, God's going to break His silence here, and He's going to speak to the man Zacharias, a man that's righteous, a man that's blameless, a man that's walking with the Lord. Can I just have your attention to say this long enough? Last week we looked at a verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30 that says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And I made a statement to this church that I'd rather that the anchorman walk out of this church and never come back, and you as individuals walk out of this church and never come back and spit at me, and rather than for me to lose the honor of Almighty God. Rather for me to lose the ability to see a soul walk down the aisle and call on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I'd rather have the honor of God than anything. And Zacharias was a man that was honoring God. So God will honor him and break a silence of 400 years and speak with him. Let's look at his privilege. The Bible says that this priest offered incense. And this incense is burned and offered in the temple at the time of prayer. And according to verse number 10, there were people outside of the temple there that they were praying at the very time that he offered this incense. For a year, I'm going to tell you, for a priest, and there are thousands of them, to have the opportunity to burn the incense at the altar of incense in the temple, it is, I promise you, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And not every priest even got that opportunity. But the Bible says it was Zacharias' lot. That means that God chose to let Zacharias burn incense before him at this exact time. And as he's doing it, the Bible says the angel of the Lord, we know him as Gabriel, appears unto him when people are praying, when the incense is being offered. That's when God breaks his silence and sends the angel down there. It is a signal of divine favor. And when Zechariah saw the angel, the Bible says in verse 12 that he was troubled and fear fell upon him. I'll never forget one time laying down on my face in my study, and I was down there trying to study the Scriptures. My little girl came in over the top of me. I saw a shadow, and I was laying there writing. She said, "Daddy, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm making a few notes." She said, "Oh." She said, "What are those notes about?" I said, "About the message." She said, "Oh." She said, "I thought you preached from the Bible, not from your notes." A little bit later on, I just ripped that message, just threw it down. I said, "Lord, I'm going to stand up and preach, just trusting you." A little bit later on, just a couple weeks later, I was laying there and there was something came over me and said, look up. It was a voice. Look up. I was afraid to. I was scared halfway to death because I thought, who knows what the Lord's got standing over the top of me? And I never did. I'll be honest. God said, look up, and I didn't look up because I was so afraid. You see, Zacharias was troubled because he was afraid that angel might be in the holy temple there because Zacharias had done something wrong. And Zacharias said, this is my once in a lifetime shot, and if I mess it up, God may just kill me. And great fear fell upon him, and he was sore troubled. And the angel said to him, he said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Hey, divine proof that God hears and answers prayers. Even for a man and a woman well stricken in years that are barren, God says, your wife shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Certainly. If you and I will honor the Lord, he'll honor us, and he will hear and answer our prayers. Well, he's getting his prayer through, and it's being heard, and the name John means gracious. He goes on to say, you're going to have joy and gladness. He goes on to say that this son, this child will be great in the sight of the Lord. He says that he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He says in verse 16, many's going to turn to the Lord. And verse 17 says, he, talking about the child, shall go before him. Who is him? He's talking about the Christ. I can go back to the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse number 1. When the last time God spoke personally to the world, he said, my messenger will come and he will go before him. That messenger will be John the Baptist. He'll be the forerunner of the Christ. 400 years later, this man who honored God, God's honoring him and speaks to his very heart and says, listen, you're the first one to hear. The Christ child is going to be born. He's privileged. Hey, can I say to you, church, you're privileged to have access to come before God. You're privileged. You've been blessed, 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 blessed. You have a position as priest. You've got a great character. You're a wonderful church. You're a church that's willing to lay an altar and pray. A church that's willing to sing in the choir, praises unto His name. You're willing to roll up your sleeves and go to work. Glory, hallelujah for all of that. But thirdly, Zacharias was pessimistic. It's almost like he run into the cold water committee and they're in every church. This is what we feel led to do. Well, that won't work. Let me tell you why it won't. I mean, sometimes you just want to get around somebody and say, would you stand and lead us in a word of criticism? Would you stand and lead us in a word of negativism? That's the way a lot of us feel. We're negative about everything. You can't go to anywhere without you having some negative thought or some negative comment. Glory to God, preacher. You're preaching it just like the Word of God says. Zacharias, a man privileged with a great position to hear from Almighty God. When he hears this message, verse 18, he says, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He's amazed. He's bewildered. God has heard his prayer, and he cannot believe that the Lord is actually going to answer a prayer that he's been praying for all these years. You know his problem? This great man of righteousness, he does not believe God. I could, time and fail me this morning, but I could go through the Bible and lay you out example after example of men of God and women of God that God had answered their prayer and they doubted it and they questioned it. You hear what I'm going to tell you this morning? He had unbelief and uncertainty in his heart. And that's the way a lot of you pray. You're praying for your family. You've been praying about your health. You've been praying about your finances. And if God does something about it and He gives you the answer, you'll actually doubt that this can't be true. This can't be happening to me. You do that, don't you? Pessimism. And the church is completely... We'll sing about faith. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! We have faith! Oh no. When it comes right down to it, it's amazing with faith like that that you'd ever get a prayer through. It's amazing with faith like that that God would ever honor your prayer. But you hear what I'm going to tell you? There's going to be a penalty incurred for his doubts, his unbelief, and his uncertainty. What is that? Gabriel said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Listen, he knows about offering incense. He does it before a most holy God. He knows all about it. He said, I've been sent to speak unto thee and show thee these glad tidings. In other words, I've come to you with good news and you don't believe because you don't. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak. You know, I've always wondered, when I've gone to churches, from church to church to church, why it is that we won't praise the Lord like we ought to. I've wondered about that many times. Sometimes I think it may be a lack of faith. Sometimes I feel like there's people that's too filled with pride and too worried about what their neighbor's going to say to raise their hand and say, glory, hallelujah, or amen, preacher, preach it like it is. Our churches no longer want to do those things. And I'm telling you what, we're really missing the boat. And the church that's too filled with pride and does not want to believe God and praise His name, let me tell you what I believe the Lord showed me this week. I'll strike it dumb. You'll want to speak and won't be able. I literally believe that I have been in churches that would like to praise the Lord but cannot because of their unbelief. Because of their doubt. I dare say that these fine young men have gone from church to church to church and only to get up and try to sing the grace and the power of God and have it come right back in their face and they cannot feel a thing. I've literally stood in a pulpit filled with the fire when I felt like it was the fire of God and it come right back at me because that church did not believe God, did not want God. All they want to do is have a little service that morning and go to my house. Listen, God is looking for a people that's willing to believe Him. God is looking for a people that's been privileged with position and privileged to have prayer going right before Him. He's looking for a people that'll just say, I don't care what my neighbor thinks. I don't care what the church down the road or up the road thinks about it. I'm just going to kick back and believe God. That's what God wants. And in Zacharias, it looked like he found it. But even a man, a great man, that was so privileged that God Himself would speak to him after 400 years of silence. He doubted God. And the morbid propensity of his faith has called for him to have a very definite, mortifying punishment. He will no longer be able to speak. He's stricken dumb. Will you turn with me to verse 62? I believe not only is he dumb, I believe he's deaf. Look with me in verse 62. Well, preacher, the Bible says dumb. That means he can't talk. Look at verse 62. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. If you make signs to somebody, that means they're deaf. They cannot hear. Here's what I'm going to tell you. For 9 months, this great man of God was silenced, stricken dumb and stricken deaf. He couldn't speak a word. He's the man of God. He can't instruct the people. There's nothing that he can do. Now you hear what I'm going to tell you? It could have been worse. God could have killed him. He left him alive. It could have been worse. You might look at your situation and say, oh, it's terrible. Well, let me tell you what, it could be worse. And when he came out and he couldn't speak, when he came out, everybody was out playing. And they thought he'd been in there a long time. What's he up to? And he couldn't even speak to them. They thought, well, surely he's seen some vision. Surely he's got something from the Lord. The Lord has clearly spoken unto him. Well, you know what happened when he came out? Listen, when he came out and he couldn't speak, and they thought, well, he's got this. Here I'm going to tell you, listen, his unbelief did not hinder the baby being born. So many times the preachers will say, well, that unbelief, you ain't gonna. Listen, the unbelief of his heart did not invalidate the promise. God's still going to have the baby. God's Word is God's Word. The baby, John the Baptist, is going to be born. The only problem is, Zacharias can't tell nobody about it. Zacharias can't listen to anybody bragging on the goodness of God that Elizabeth, an old woman, could have a baby. He can't hear it. I literally believe I believe I've been in these churches where that some people cannot hear the gospel as they once did. I may be speaking to somebody this morning, and I pray, God, would you open their hearing just long enough to let them hear this morning and see what will happen. Now listen, are you listening? God, do it this morning. What I've been asking for, would you do it for somebody? Somewhere in your life, you had some unbelief about the things of God, about something God had showed you, and you just closed your mind to it and closed your heart to it, and all of a sudden, it's caused you to be deafened to the things of God.
I think about old Joe comes to church every Sunday. A lot of times Joe's sitting there right now and he looks at me. And a lot of times Joe can't hear because he has a physical problem. Yet Joe's at church most every Sunday because he says that's the way I serve God. I can come. He might can't even hear, but he's here to enjoy. But there are some of us that spiritually, God takes away our ability to hear and appreciate a message from God. If you can hear a preacher preach, you've been blessed of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I say this to this church, you're a wonderful church. You're a powerful church. You're a privileged church. But if you sit here and won't believe God and appreciate when He saved 100 souls in a year and the things He does around this place, if you want to appreciate it, God says, I'll just take it away. You won't hear it anymore. I'll just take it away. He says, not only will I take it away where you can't hear, but I'll cause you not to be able to speak it. What if you wanted to praise Him, but He wouldn't give you the words? You hear me? There's somebody in this building today, somewhere back there, some unbelief, some uncertainty in your life has hindered your ability to stand up and say, I just want to thank God for saving me. I remember what it's like as a young boy about 13 or 14 years old at the Hoover's Creek Baptist Church, and people was up testifying and moving for God, and God started to work and way down deep in my heart and said, I want you to stand up and I want you to tell them what I've done for you. And I'm telling you, when I was all to pieces and finally little old boy, insignificant to everybody there, I jumped up to my feet and said, I just want to praise God for saving me. And I sat back down and my burden went away, hallelujah, and I had rejoicing in my soul right in and there. And I want to tell you what, church, that is a privilege from God to be able to go out and share the message that Jesus saves and to tell people what the Lord has done for us. And I'm telling you, just like Zacharias, when we doubt and we have unbelief, God takes away our ability to communicate with our neighbors and with our loved ones about how good He is and what God's been doing in our lives. Those churches are all around, hallelujah. And I'm telling you what, y'all, He said if we'd hold our peace, that the stones would cry out. It's our duty to get up and praise His holy name. That's what we're supposed to do, church. Just believe Him. Just believe Him. I'm telling you what, this morning, He's a man. And that's paying a severe penalty. When the promise was right in front of your eyes, your mistrust and your challenge has resulted in chastisement. And God's whooping you down over at church. Please, please don't fall into the error of Zacharias. Oh, I'm telling you what, there's proof here that God hears and answers prayer, isn't there? There's proof that God will still deliver us out of our troubles. There's proof that those that honor the Lord, He will honor. But there's also proof that if you despise Him, He will lightly esteem you. You come up here to pray and God says, who are you? You wouldn't honor me, I'm not going to honor you. Oh, God help, what a terrible place to be in. Oh, I like what old Job said. He said, those skin worms may destroy my body. In other words, what? No matter what happens to me, yet I will see Him in my flesh. Boy, I wonder, all these proofs this man of God has had. Listen, in 20 years of salvation, or 30, or ever how long you've been saved, has God ever failed you? I'm telling you what if your health fails? What if the business goes down? What if there's a scandal in your family? Will that cause you not to want to praise Him anymore? Will that cause you not to want to appreciate Him? Hey, He'll love you no matter how you act, and you ought to love Him no matter what happens to you. There's divine proof that He cares. Well, let me close out here. I'm almost done. If you look with me here in chapter 1, we'll go down there to verse number 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. See, he is born whether Zacharias believed it or not. Hey, God's got a work to do in Bethel Missionary Baptist Church whether you believe it or not. You can get on board the boat, you can praise Him, you can hear from Him, amen, and you can shout it out and enjoy it, or you can just sit there like a knot on the log at your business. You've been warned from God. You hear me? You're warned from God about what to do and how to take it. He's warning you this morning. You just listen around. He's warning you. In verse number 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. What they heard. Ooh, they were blessed to hear. Oh, how they were blessed to hear. And the Bible says, and they rejoiced with her. But Zacharias couldn't do it. He couldn't hear, and he couldn't rejoice with her with his lips and with his mouth. And the Bible says it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. Maybe they called him Zacharias Jr., I don't know. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." She said, "I know." And when my husband came back that day from the temple, and he got out the writing tablet because he couldn't tell me that I was going to have a baby, he wrote, "You're going to have a baby." "I'm what?" "You're going to have a baby. Read it." She got pregnant. Said, "The angel said, his name's going to be John. John's his name. You name him John." And everybody said, "Let's call him Zacharias Jr." She said, "No! His name's John." You see, she believed the message. Even though it wasn't spoken to her and it was written to her. Hello? Let me say that again. Even though it wasn't spoken to her, it was written to her. Hey, glory to God, you hear what I'm telling this morning? It's been spoke to you and it's been read to you. Amen. God simply wants, I feel the Holy Ghost. God simply wants you to believe Him. That's all He's looking for. Amen. And the Bible says when she said that, they said unto her, "Just calm down. There's none of thy kindred, nobody in the family that is called by this name. Ain't got no kinfolk named John. Who are you naming him after?" Listen. And they made signs to his father, dumb and deaf. They made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing type tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately. And his tongue loosed. And he spake. And he praised God. And fear came on all them that dwelt round about them. And all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. You see, God was merciful. And when he stood up and testified and prayed, listen, and just simply wrote out his name, God opened his mouth. And with his lips he could profess. And his ears are now able to hear again. Glory to God. God forgave him of his sin and restored him and put him back in a place of fellowship. Ain't you glad this morning? God forgives our doubts. Ain't you glad this morning? God will take away our uncertainties. All we've got to do is confess and say, "God, I've not believed you on this in my life. I didn't believe you on this. I didn't appreciate what you've done. I didn't shout like I should have. I didn't testify when I was told to. I didn't give my prayer request when I should have. God, forgive me of my sin of unbelief." Let me say this, and I'm done. I was pastoring at Zion Hill Baptist Church. I'd walk down the steps like so, headed over this direction. Got talking about them opening, you know, the angel of the Lord opening doors of the prison for Peter. You remember that story? The church was praying for him, and God got him out. And when he went to the door just swung open. God spoke to my heart as I stood in the altar. And God said, "If you'll turn, I'm going to open that door right now." And I got scared. And I kind of made light of it. And I'll never have that opportunity again. That God would take a locked door and just open it right in front of 200 people. Some of you would have said, "It's some magic trick. How do you do that? Somebody must have..." Even myself was doubting. "God, would you forgive me of that?" I prayed and prayed and prayed that God would forgive me. And I've learned a sincere lesson from that. Not to doubt Him no matter what I'm doing. Not to doubt Him. And I caused everybody there to miss it. "Sir, yes sir, I'm talking to you. Please don't let everybody miss it this morning. You just believe Him for what He's been speaking to you. You mind what He's told you to do. Ma'am, you just go ahead and trust the Lord with that thing. You watch, it's going to turn out okay. God's still the one that spoke it, and He'll be the one that brings it into existence. You just trust Him with that this morning." I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I'm pretty much done. Preacher, what can I do? I really didn't mean to preach this long, I'll be honest. What can I do? If you see that the sin of Zacharias could be your own error, you need to cry to the Lord if you're weak in faith. And you need to come up to Him this morning and say, Lord, You deserve to be trusted. And I've failed You. I've failed You in my praise. And I've failed You with my trust. I've failed You, Lord. And I want to come. It might be somebody else say, oh, Lord, I have been trusting You. Oh, but for a stronger faith. How much are you willing to plead for? What do you really want this morning? Well, I tell you what, this morning, if you're here this morning, you're an unbeliever and you've never been saved. You hear what I'm going to tell you? If a saved man like Zacharias, who doubted God, would be stricken deaf and dumb, what would happen? What would happen to a man, or what would happen to a woman that wasn't even saved, that wouldn't believe God? God will banish them to a devil's hell for all eternity. Now I'm going to ask you this morning, friend, as God speaks to your heart, would you slip down this altar this morning if God spoke to your heart? Might be somebody here saying, Lord, I don't know how to praise you publicly, but I want to run up there to the altar and I'm going to bow my knee in front of you and I'm going to honor you and I'm going to praise you this morning and I'm going to believe you because I believe you spoke to me. I believe you spoke to me audibly. I believe you spoke to me by the written word of God today. And I'm going to bow this altar. And I'm going to praise your name. And I want to serve you. And I want to thank you with my life. And thank you from the depths of my heart. Lord, you told me if I'd honor you, you would honor me. And Lord, today I honor you as my King, as my Lord, as my Savior. I know you're sitting back there and you reason. Can this happen? I mean, the Lord spoke to me. Can the Lord repair it? Can the Lord fix it? Oh, yes. He's able to do the impossible. He calls a virgin to be with child. He calls an old woman to have a baby. Listen, He's raised the dead. He saved my soul. He can do it today, friend, if you give it to Him. Would you come?